Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc. Get to the website. You're going to need it today. You got to look at the pictures to understand the show. Title, Is Eating Sushi Safe? What to Do About Mercury, Arsenic, Lead, and Other Heavy Metals. Two extreme sides, as usual. Both extremities are incorrect. Your classic toxicologist will tell you that the metals you've been exposed to, since they're not at acute toxic levels, are nothing to be concerned about, and the symptoms are all in your head. On the other end of the spectrum, we have people who are radically opposed to the eating of any type of sushi because of the heavy metal in the sushi, and see heavy metal toxicity as something almost unavoidable. And whether it's in the teeth or the food, we've got this alarm system going off at all times, enough to make anybody sick just from the stress of it itself. And you see both factions missing the point. The purpose of this show, of course, is to bring you the science merged with some good common sense so we can make decisions to keep you healthy. And that is a viable prospect, but you've got to do the homework first. So let's take a look and let's use our common sense. Let's use the science. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If you're new to the show, no show like this in America. It really asks you to get in between the pages of science. And anyone that's listened to the show knows what I mean by that. Take a look. Top of the site here. Glutathione and oxidative stress. This is Boyd Haley. I want you to click it on now. You're not going to go through this, of course, because it's a full 1 hour and 5 minutes. But I just want to introduce you to Boyd Haley. He's the department chairman, University of Kentucky, biochemistry. He made a contribution in a nutshell. Boyd Haley told us that no matter what the cell absorbs, heavy metal, pesticide, petrochemical, regardless of what it is, the attack on the inside of the cell. And again, it's important to really understand the difference between taking mercury in through your mouth, having it absorb through your intestines, having it circulate around in the blood, having it circulate in between your cells, and having it get inside the cell and interrupt oxidative phosphorylation. Those are very, very different. Those are very, very different processes. It's when the mercury, the arsenic, the lead, the cadmium, the aluminum, the strontium gets inside the cell that we have the problems. That's where we have cellular dysfunction. That's where we begin symptom. That's where we can take it all the way to disease. Now, what that process is about is what Boyd Haley is elaborating on. Boyd is telling us that the body makes glutathione. Now, you've heard that word. Maybe you've had it injected into your blood. Maybe you take glutathione supplements. Haley is saying, with all the credentials behind it, that the notion that you're going to take it in a pill form or even inject it is nonsense. That the reality is that the cell makes glutathione. And if you have adequate amounts of glutathione, you are heavily protected against the oxidative stress of heavy metals. Which slants the discussion to, well, who's protected and who's not? Who makes glutathione and who doesn't? Who makes it in sufficient quantities and who's coming up short? Now, this is where you got to interject with common sense and understand that really you succumb to heavy metal damage if you're exposed to it. You ultimately succumb to it. It ultimately bears so much of a burden on your cellular efficiency that it becomes a real threat when the general health of the cell dips below a certain threshold. This is so important to understand because it's effectively saying, get healthy, stay healthy, and if you've got a real concern about heavy metal toxicity, it's not so much the focal attack on the heavy metal as you've got to bring up the cell energy, meaning all the different cellular mechanisms over time need to enhance, need to improve, need to become way more efficient. And in doing so, you're going to be left with a cell that doesn't need to expend all its intracellular glutathione on other things and can focus on pumping out those metals. Now, that's big. That is really big. It's why healthy people tend to stay healthy and sick people tend to stay sick. It explains that once you get into the whole of health, you've already depleted enough of that intracellular glutathione. If you're stuck in what appears to be an apparently irreversible chronic disease progression, it means in the balance of trade, you went bankrupt and you can't get out of bankruptcy. Now, that's the educated perspective on this. If you understand that, you can start to relax behind eating your tuna sashimi. Because you can be rest assured, and there's many other mechanisms in the body that will protect you from heavy metal damage. There are many other mechanisms that are going to stop the metals from getting into your cell, let alone they get into your cell, and then your glutathione bounces it out of the cell. Now, when you've got all these mechanisms protecting it from inside the cell, and then you've got an ample supply of intracellular glutathione bouncing it out of the cell, how much worry do you really think you have? And as Chris Kesser, I've got one of his articles up. Chris Kesser, he's an acupuncturist out of, I'm not sure where, but the guy is easily searchable on the Google. And he writes wonderful articles. So does Mercola. Point being, if you weigh the cost benefit of eating certain types of fish versus not eating certain types of fish, you're way ahead if you eat the fish. Now, there are concerns, and I'll get to them later. There's about four or five fish, the huge fish, okay? The whales, which doesn't concern you. You don't eat whale. But you do eat tuna. You do go after shark. One that everybody goes after is swordfish. So you've got swordfish, you've got pilot whale, you've got tuna, and you've got king mackerel. Are so high in the metals that if you can avoid them, you should avoid them. But on the overall, people who are, this is a slant from me and from others, based on everything we're going to compile today. If you're depending on bottled oil, if you're sacrificing the nutrition and the health of the oils in fresh fish, that's going to have deleterious effects too. And it's not that fish are the only thing to eat, but let's face it, fish is filled with the kinds of things that create health. And we have this in the anthropology. Cultures that bring in a certain amount of fish, 2-3 times a week, each week traditionally, have enjoyed wonderful benefits of it, cognitively, cardiovascularly. The notion that we're going to extract oils out of krill, we're going to extract oils out of fish, so on and so forth, and replicate nature after distillation processes, solvent extraction processes, making sure that the oil stays held, not rancidifying in transport, et cetera, in the clinical trenches, when you compare using oil out of food to oil out of a bottle, I don't care who's making the bottle, you're way ahead. And oil's important. So I don't want to get too much into that. But I do want to say, you need to learn more about how your body protects yourself against metal in the first place so you can make a competent decision. Let's continue. All right. Go to the top of the website there. Click to view the full article on how gut flora inactivate methylmercury. Take a look at this article. You can get this article yourself online. That's what I do. That's what anybody interested in the hard science will do. We have countless numbers of studies showing us that gut flora, the bacteria in your large intestine, we have countless number of studies that show that the gut flora take the methyl mercury and convert it into harmless mercury. Now that's big, because once again, we're pointing to a healthy organism, an organism that primes their health, now has yet another protective defense against mercury. Intracellular glutathione, a protective defense against mercury. And these things have been studied. These are not speculative. These are definite. This is just one article. You can summon up dozens of articles on the same subject. The flora are constantly working to break down the bad metal effects in the intestine. Not to mention, if the intestine is healthy enough, if it is a non-inflamed intestine, if it's an intestine that's got adequate supplies of the type of protective mechanisms like your mucus reserves, you're going to enhance or decelerate the rate of absorption. These metals are very large molecules. And the body, the intestinal system itself, has physiologies that tend to trap them. They don't like to absorb them. Did you know most of the metal you ingest is excreted? It doesn't even get through in the first place. If it does get through, it's on its way to the liver. And what's it doing in the liver? It's being conjugated by the sulfur-based glutathiones, etc., and being flushed out into the biliary system, whereupon it drops down the bowel and out your body. So there's number three. You know, this almost reminds me of those National Geographic documentaries on sperm. On the sperm that fertilizes the egg, how in an ejaculate is 200 or 300 million, and 99.9% of them die, and then there's a few left at the end. It's not quite, but it's almost the same way with the heavy metals. The body's got tons of safeguards. We've evolved this way. We suspect that a lot of this metal anyway just comes out of the ocean. It's not just the metal from exogenous. It's what is actually in the ocean itself. So on a certain level, we've been designed to deal with this. Now, radiation, well, maybe that's a different story, even though lots of radiation comes out of the earth. So before we check out and find ourselves in our own minds prey to the hostile effects, we have to look at our evolutionary patterns. What have we evolved to counteract the effect of things that we've been dealing with for many, many thousands of years? And I think you see these systems deploy if you really study the way the metals metabolize. Let's keep going. Let's take a look at that, actually, another one. Five reasons. Click to view the full article on five reasons why concerns about mercury in fish are misguided. Let's take a look here at this article. This is another one. Okay, number one, the studies that were done, okay, ignore the important role of selenium. Now, selenium found in, as we all know, Brazil nuts, but selenium's found in everything. And if you read this, as long as the body has an adequate supply of selenium-based enzymes, the mercury tends to attach to the enzymes. Now, where do you get selenium? You get selenium everywhere. If you eat healthy food, you have a lot of selenium. And we can, of course, say that in our soil-depleted foods, in our store-bought garbage food, the trace mineral, selenium being one, has depleted. But the bottom line is, if you're eating relatively good, you have tons of selenium in your body. It's in everything. Just that it's in eggs, just that it's in beef, just that it's in nuts, Brazil nuts especially, just that you can just hit the Google search and take the top 15 foods with the most amount of selenium, you'll see selenium is all over your diet. And this is the point. Once again, if you start to draw conclusions about Mercury from a certain perspective, not including, not giving deference to the inherent bodily mechanisms to mitigate its effect, you start getting out of control. And this is what happens. This is why when we talk about studies, we have to be very careful. Studies have slants. Studies pull things out of context. People running around with this grave concern about mercury and other types of heavy metal poisoning without deference to the dozens of systems in the body to prevent it are pulling it out. They're extrapolating out of the system. And this is where we start to exaggerate or get overly concerned about issues. This is a great example. If you get in to the work that's been done, and this is hard science, this isn't guessing, that if you've got your selenium-based enzymes in adequate amounts, the mercury attaches to the selenium enzymes, and then you run out of the selenium enzyme, unless the body's got another supply of selenium. And the notion that you're going to run out of selenium, that's kind of absurd. Yes, it's not so absurd if, in fact, your diet is horrible. But this goes back to the point. And what did I say in the beginning of the show? Really, what you're going to conclude at the end of the show is that you have to look at your body as a system, as an ecosystem of health. And over time, as you deploy, as you utilize all the various indices of health, as you learn health, you fortify yourself to the point where your perspective on mercury toxicity, metal toxicity to your body, healthy and evolved over time, optimizing your mechanisms, that becomes a very different concern then. Let's keep going. The evidence suggesting harm. This is from that same article. Again, we're not going to read this article, but I think it's a great article. I think you should know Chris Kesser's columns. I think he's very, very good at what he does. The evidence suggesting harm from consuming seafood is weak and doesn't apply to the fish almost most people consume. That's because a lot of the stuff is done on whale, where you really see neurological damages, acute toxicities, all sorts of deformations are up north where people eat the large animals. And in the studies that really set the world off, as he's quoting in this article here, you're talking about the pilot whale, cultures eating whale. Then we point to this Minamata disaster in Japan where industry was leaking extremely high amounts. Listen, heavy metal toxicity is real. It's a matter of overloading the body's systems. And what sensationalism does very often is take examples of the horrible effects of heavy metal poisoning in situations that don't apply to your everyday reality. Now, against this is argued, well, if you cite an acute instance, that's one thing. But if we bioaccumulate in the body, if we bioaccumulate all the metals collectively, don't we, in a sense, replicate or create the same type of issue? There's a nuance there. If you bioaccumulate these metals, if you get exposed to lots of stuff to the point where you overload your systems, yes, you do create damage. But this goes back to the point. Get healthy, stay healthy, be healthy. Take common sense approach to minimize your exposure to the heavy metals in all the ways that I'll talk about today. But in the end, when you want to go out and have twice a week the benefits of the oils, and not to mention the full protein content of fresh wild fish and all the things we don't even know are in these things that cultures have used for a long, long time, that proves wonderful cognitive benefits, wonderful cardiovascular benefits, and you're not doing that because of the metal content in fish, when you're sucking down 10 times more, who knows, from the air in the Long Beach port, whatnot, this is where you're out of perspective. Read that article yourself. That's Chris Kesser, Five Reasons Why Concerns About Mercury in Fish Are Misguided. He's an acupuncturist. I think he makes a lot of sense. All right. That's Boyd Haley. That's Chris Kesser. That's your gut flora. Let's take a look now. Let's take a look at a few pictures. Picture number one. Oxidative phosphorylation. Just to get a little technical, in the mitochondria. It's the powerhouse of the cell where we produce the adenosine triphosphate. Is a chain of events that occurs to, as you see at the extreme right side in the darker purple, this mechanism that pumps out ATP. As you're looking at this, this is picture number one. You're understanding that this chain of events can get interrupted. So just take a big fat molecule of methyl mercury and stick it right in between the yellow blob and the gold looking one. Interrupt that chain or that sequence so you don't pump out your ATP is exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly where the metals, lots of the metals, mercury, arsenic, there's a number of others. Not all metals interrupt oxidative phosphorylation. Each metal actually goes after you in a slightly different way. But lots of them get into the phosphorylation chain. Now, once they're in the phosphorylation chain, and Haley, Boyd Haley, that YouTube, you should find the time to watch. It's just so, so precise and coherent. What Haley's pointing out is when those metals, methyl mercury, the metal in the fish, hits the inside of the cell, if it finds itself in a place where because of all the cell stresses, not just metal, all the stresses to the cell, there's a depletion of intracellular glutathione. You don't have enough to push the mercury out of the cell. Now, if you don't have enough to push the mercury out of the cell, then the oxidative phosphorylation chain gets more irreversibly stuck, meaning in any given frame of time, your cell is making less ATP. What do you think the cell uses ATP for? Well, one thing it uses the ATP for is to make more intracellular glutathione. So Haley is pointing out there's a terrible catch-22 when it comes to metal poisoning. Metals often go right after the very molecule that the cell uses to kick those metals out. That's an especially dangerous animal. So don't misunderstand me now, right? Don't think here I'm saying that the heavy metals at a certain level are not dangerous. I'm not saying that at all. They're especially dangerous. But if you understand how they're especially dangerous, then you can understand how to make them relatively harmless. And lots of people do. We have lots of cultures today that are eating the Japanese who eat fish. Now, they don't stuff themselves with fish the way we may think that they do. People that live in Japan, okay, will note that their notion that all the Japanese eat is fish is not reality. Now, that's true. But they eat enough fish so that we really should see, and don't talk about Fukushima, please, or any of these isolated incidences. We're not talking about that. We're talking about populations today in different parts of the world that are indulging in fish 2 to 3 times a week. Are they showing over time that they would have been way better off denying themselves that fish, lest those metals, because they ate the fish, built up and cause them irreversible neurological damage at all? That's the issue here. And we should be seeing that kind of thing in Japan, aside from isolated incidences, and we don't. And this is the point. Could the Japanese be doing other things? Well, let me give you one hint. We'll come back to it later. They eat lots of the green sea vegetables. The green sea vegetables are chelators of the heavy metals. One of the ways you get the metals out of your body is to eat lots of the green sea vegetables. That's the chlorellas, that's the algaes. There's so many things in nature that will chelate the metals. And of course, what are the Japanese doing? Eating enough selenium. They're eating enough of the chelators of the metals with the green sea vegetables, along with moderate, not extreme, but moderate amounts of fish. And you see completely different outcomes. And I want you to think about that before you go off into some hysterical direction about the metals in the fish. I will guarantee you, I have met more people starving to death because they don't want to eat fish because of the metal issue. And they stay sick because they don't eat anything They eat lettuce and white rice because they're so scared to eat anything. I guarantee you, I have seen in Los Angeles more people like that than I've seen suffering purely and solely from heavy metal contamination from the sashimi they eat. Guarantee you. Common sense always. We must apply common sense. Common sense to the science. All right, let's take a look at picture number three. I want to do some picture work now. Look at picture number three. Looks complicated. It's not complicated. It really isn't if you want to have fun with it. All it's basically saying is that we're getting mercury from pollution coming out of industry. That pollution is inevitably hitting the sea life. The sea life, as you move up the food chain, from the little fishies, from the krill, all the way up to the huge fishies, it just concentrates the amount as you go up the food chain. So if you're eating the larger fish, if you're eating the tuna instead of the sole, right? A tuna is how big? 600, 700, 800 pounds? How big is a perch or a little sole? And that's the point. The higher up the food chain you go, if you eat the sharks that eat the tuna, if you eat the sharks that eat the walrus, now you're even going to get more poisoned. Fatty, oily fish at the top of the food chain have concentrated all the garbage, including the pesticides and the petrochemicals. It's the PCBs, it's the dioxin, it's the heavy metals. As you go up the food chain, that's why. Four fish, shark, swordfish, tuna, go 50-50 on that. And last but not least, whale, which, of course, isn't relevant to any of us. But wild salmon? But the smaller white fish like sole? Even halibut, right? You're going to read the guidelines and halibut's going to be on the high and heavy metal content. Guess what? Halibut is not a fatty fish. They're not talking about the meat of the halibut. Why? Because you have to have oil. You have to have oil in the flesh to hold the metal. Without the oil, you don't hold the metal. It's why your monkfishes and your sharks, except monkfishes aren't as big as sharks. Your big oily fish, swordfish, is a big oily fish. Monkfish is an oily fish, but it's a much smaller fish. Your big oily ones. Toro, a big fat yellow-tailed tuna. This is where you'll find more of the garbage. Save four or five fish, munch. And wild salmon at the top of the list, except, and here's my point. Wild salmon, as some of us know, has of all the fish that has the highest incidence of parasitic infection, roundworm, is salmon. So there you go. You're going to get whacked no matter what you do. You're going to starve if you don't eat meat. Arguments respected. But either way you go, there's a pro and a con. Perhaps the high intelligent voter is going to understand that what you do is you pull out of the diversity what works. You get educated to minimize the downside. You act to minimize the downside. And in the balance of trade, you stay healthier than sicker. Now, that's the ticket. That's reality. That's a more complicated approach. It just requires more depth. The black and white guide to getting healthy doesn't work. The black and white guide will ultimately do what it does. It sends the public swarming in circles of anxiety because everybody's contradicting each other. Thus the point of the show. The point of this show is to get you educated to make an intelligent choice. But you've got to learn to think. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you're lost in the labyrinth of health, if you're finding that the best defense is education, 714-850-1007. You give us a call, you come in ready to move the health ball, and I promise you results. But you have to come with attitude, the right attitude. And the right attitude is common sense and look between the lines. That's the kind of thinker that heals. I've watched people fail and succeed for over 20 years in the health field. People who think outside the box do better. People who listen to their body do better. People who can read between the lines. People who aren't willing to just take cookbook approaches and are willing to listen to their body and shoot from the hip do better. Make that purpose you. If you're very new to the show, get a subscription. Listen to the shows. They're going to have the same theme. I'm going to be clamoring for this common sense approach for as long as I do this. Because it's what works. Everybody's different. Everybody's got to think cost-benefit. Everybody's got to get educated. Everybody's got to think outside the box. And everybody's got to know what the reality of moving through a healing is, as opposed to the myth, the Park Avenue presentation, that you're going to reverse 20 years of disease in 6 months, and all this mumbo-jumbo nonsense marketing garbage. Let's keep going. All right. Let's talk about picture six. Mercury. There's three forms of it. It's basically stating that you got two major places it comes into your body, the teeth. I'm not going to get into the tooth part today. If you've got those big black fillings, if those big black fillings are mixed with other metals like gold, palladium, if your crowns have metal jackets, nickel and cadmium, you've got a smorgasbord of metals in your mouth. And the rate at which they vaporize increases. The rate at which the mercury vaporize increases. As we say, if you have a battery in your mouth, get that fixed. Look there first. If you're going into some issue with kidney, if you're going into some issue cognitively, look at the teeth. Then this is a big one that I'm not going to get into today, but you can't talk mercury unless you talk the teeth. I think most of you know that. I'm going to leave that alone. The rest of it they're saying is the fish issue, which we're very involved in today, are we not? Picture number seven. Toxicity of chemicals and physical agents. Chemicals may be excreted in the urine. What does that mean? It means make sure your kidneys are clean. There are variable rates. You know what it's called? The GFR. The glomerular filtration rate. If somebody's GFR is 100 or 120 and somebody else's is 50, you're talking about two completely different rates of excretion through the kidney. That means if your kidneys aren't working optimally, and they should be, if your GFR is low, you know, they say the GFR is normal over 60. Some say you can't even measure it over 60. That's a lot of nonsense. Kidneys have variable rates. We decide that it's 60. We decide through certain types of testing that it's 60. You're getting into the zone of problems. And while that on some level is true, suppose you had a GFR of 100 and suppose you were exposed to higher levels of metals. Wouldn't two kidneys, meaning wouldn't double the kidney power, ameliorate the issue? If your kidneys are working half as well as they're supposed to versus somebody else's kidneys that are working twice as well as what we call normal, who's going to be in a better position to excrete the metals out of the body? You see? Organ function is variable. You have to think about that. Then you get to the liver. Lots of chemicals, we're going to talk about the metals, accumulate in the bone, which is fat, accumulate in the marrow, which is fat, accumulate in the brain, which is fat. Metals tend to get stored in fat. Metals tend to be lipophilic. Pesticides are extremely lipophilic. So what does that mean? Well, there's another principle, and that principle says that you aren't going to excrete that dirty, toxic, metal-ridden fat unless that fat's got somewhere to go if it dissolves. And once it dissolves, where's it going to go? Well, you know that. It's going to go out your biliary system. And that takes us to another picture. Go take a look at picture number 22. It's a cross-section of the liver, way high up in the microscopic bile canaliculi. That's where your bile sand, your grit, lives. And if there's enough grit, take a look at picture 21. Be rest assured that if there's enough grit there, you're not going to get the optimal flow of bile. Again, why doesn't your medical doctor tell you about this? Because they're only concerned when you're getting bile at so depreciable a level that you can't live, that you can't function. It's not until you are in acute crisis that anybody, generally speaking, tells you you're an organ failure. You got to get this one. You're talking about the difference between optimization of the organ and organ failure, the gap between the point at which the organ fails and the point at which we say you've got the kidneys, liver of a teenager. The difference between those two is the difference between health and disease. And that's never pointed out. That isn't anything that anybody thinks about. It's something that people don't even measure. Right? Who measures the rate at which you excrete bile? Who measures the rate at which you clear poisons that would go to the biliary system? Who measures decade by decade how much your liver, in terms of clearance times in the blood, depreciates? We don't do that. And that's the point. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This show gives you a different slant. This show makes you think. This show is functionally effective. It teaches you how to look at your health concern. It teaches you how to stay optimally healthy using science that you can't argue. You can't argue variability in organ function and the fact that nobody cares about it. That's not arguable. When did you last go to your local physician and have some panel drawn to tell you that in the last 10 years, you're excreting through the biliary system at about half the rate that you did 10 years earlier? I rest my case. And yet, you can infer these. Sensitivity to the body over time will tell you what the status of the organ is. And this is effectively the essence of holistic medicine, but you've got to make it functional. Which comes down to what then? What then? Well, go to picture 24. I've said it once. Some of you must be so bored and nauseated at this point. But there, in that picture, picture 24, is what you should be excreting a couple of times a week into the toilet. Massive quantities of bile, which enhances the rate at which you clear the garbage, the metals included, out of the blood. It's that simple. Do you have a relationship with the biliary system? I'm going to move because I talk so much about this, but you're concerned about fish, you're concerned about the metals, and do you think about the two excretions you had this week? Perhaps not, because you don't think that way, because you don't connect the dots. Wonderful. Connect the dots. Variability in liver and kidney function. Do something about it. Okay, let's talk about the skin. Let's talk about the skin. Number one, they go anywhere from $1,000 to $4,000. A sunlight and infrared sauna, a full spectrum. Study the details. This show isn't about those details. This show is to say that we ought to start thinking, as long as we live in Southern California, as long as we live in Tokyo and London and Paris and Rome, as long as we live in China and India and Russia, as long as we live near industry, even if we don't live near industry, we ought to start thinking about the fact that when you sweat, you excrete chemicals through the skin that really does excrete more than anything in the body. That's called the third kidney. And yet, in a given week, who's sweating? Don't eat that sushi, because those metal contaminants will build up. Are you sweating? Are you excreting bile? Where's your kidney function? What's the overall level of your health and the amount of intracellular glutathione that you're producing? You get my point. We have to think with diversity. Full spectrum infrared saunas. Here is a better one. Put the clays on. Go down to picture number 33. Now, Premier Research Labs, one of my favorite companies, my vote for the clay you should put on your body, and then guess what? Go into an infrared sauna for 15 minutes. Of course, if you're very ill, you might want to do this under medical supervision. Supervision of some sort. Of course, that is the case. We don't want to be pushy. We don't want to take unnecessary risks. But once you're cleared, get this one straight. If you've got a concern about toxicities, do it this way before you boycott fish. If you're concerned about toxicities now, start to add the amount of things that I'm telling you work to pull metals out before you draw what I'll call bad conclusions. These clays work. You rub these clays into the hands. You rub these clays into the feet. You rub these clays into the kidneys. Maybe the armpits. Maybe around the neck. You figure out, under supervision or through trial and error, your ritual. And then you go and hop into an infrared sauna. And you stay in that sauna for a good 15 minutes. And if you're fortunate enough, when you come out and you wash that out, and you can jump into a cold pool or the snow. If not the snow, a cold pool. A cold pool outdoors, if not a cold pool indoors. Picture 27, picture 28, picture 29, picture 30. Picture 30 is the cold pool at Voda. That's in West Hollywood. Here in Irvine, there's the ice spa. Picture 27 and 28 are ice streams or ice lakes or snow. Outdoor ice gardens. Not relevant as much here, but we still have cold lakes and cold streams in different parts of Southern California. They are there. In Ojai, I can remember a number of them, active and functioning today, this very day. Clean streams next to hot sulfur springs, out there in the desert. All sorts of homemade contraptions, all sorts of nature-made mechanisms, all sorts of things. Well, an infrared sauna and a cold shower if need be. Or put a sauna in the backyard. Enough people have homes. Enough people are in a position to put a cold pool. We find that $20,000 to remodel the kitchen. Maybe you take $10,000 and build yourself a hot, cold banya. You live in Southern California? You can find a spare $10,000 over 5 or 10 years. That's a smart investment. Before you boycott fish, think about the amount of garbage that you can get out of your connective tissues. Think of how much you can enhance the rate of biliary excretion, of lymphatic flow, of regular use of an infrared sauna with clay and then cold. Look at that. The infrared heat, or the heat from a banya sauna, the dry heat of a banya, the wet heat of steam, the dry heat of an infrared sauna combined with clay, massive sweating, mineralization with soups and broths, and then a dive into something cold and icy as much as you can handle under medical consideration if need be. Think of that combined with biliary excretion. Think of that combined with optimization of renal function. Think of that combined with you've put yourself to a level of health now where you've got enough free-floating intracellular glutathione to handle sushi 2 to 3 nights a week. You see what I'm talking about? I'm happy. I'm happy right now. I'm painting a picture. I'm painting a far more comprehensive picture of the reality of heavy metal toxicity. And you got to think this way. You really got to think this way. Because it's the reality. All right, let's keep going. Here, even dry brushing the skin. Picture number 31. Picture number 32. Dry brushing the skin. Something as easy and simple as dry brushing the skin each and every day. dry brush the skin, go into a sauna. Dry brush the skin, put the clay on, let it dry in the sun, stretch, and maybe dry brush the skin a little bit more. Lots of incredible things you can do. Now, here's one of the heavyweight solutions. This is the heavyweight solution, the sea greens. Go to picture number 37. That is the chlorella, picture 37, you can trust. That is a clean, not indoor vat grown. That is chlorella growing in seawater, harvested. Not irradiated. Not tampered with. Just put in a vegetable capsule. Picture 38. That's that same chlorella fed to probiotic bacteria so the bacteria can digest the chlorella and make them infinitely more assimilable. Infinitely more assimilable. Chlorella, spirulina, algae, coriander, parsley. Exquisite, green, rich, plush, grown on fertile soil, harvested from fertile oceans. Guess what you got? Nature's great metallic chelator. That may well be by the Japanese. Why the Japanese don't suffer. The sea greens, or the cereal greens, or both of them. Lots of them. Rich, rich, rich in micronutrient. Rich, rich, rich in trace minerals. From a clean source. And Premier Research Labs. Gabriel Cousins with his E3 up there in Oregon at Lake Kalmath. They are available to you. How much do you eat? Is that part of the diet? How do you react to 3-4 ounces a day of dark green juice? How do you react to things that chelate you? Have you had the green drink experience? Let's talk about the green drink experience for a moment. Let's go to picture number 39. Handpicked by a world expert, Gabriel Cousins. He's a heavyweight guy. You can trust his E3. It's in Elizabeth. E3. Look at picture 40. That's a bolt of lightning, E3. He's up there with Bob Marshall and Premier Research Labs, at least as far as this product is concerned. And that's an experience. If you give that to a Long Beach dock worker in quantities more than he can handle, you're going to guarantee somebody a bad week. This stuff will find your metals. It'll find your radiation. It'll find, well, this show is about heavy metals, so let's leave it at that right now. It will bind them. It will pull them out. It will ask you to excrete them. And when this garbage moves from the intercellular space, complements of these sea greens, when this stuff chelates these metals and it hits the blood, if it can't get out of the blood fast enough, are you going to get sick? That's why the green experience, now you understand what I'm saying, it's called the green experience. Why? It's an evolution. You have to cultivate relationship. You got to cultivate relationship with green stuff, or you will get very sick. Sweet, pungent, powerful wheatgrass juice. Chlorella. This stuff from Lake Kalmath. When this hits you, it's an evolution. If you work with people, you'll watch them evolve with something to where they can go from just a little half-ounce portion, maybe no more than a tablespoon, maybe as little as a teaspoon, depending on their sensitivities. And all of a sudden, it's 2-3 ounces a day. It's an ounce 3 times a day. From it giving them a headache to it gives them energy. You see, there's a pendulum in the reaction that you have to eyeball to know what the net effect of these chelators is going to be. What does it mean when somebody has a little wheatgrass juice or a tablespoon of Detox ND? In fact, why do we call it Detox ND? I mean, look at the name of that. Premier Research Labs calls that Detox ND. That's just chlorella. It's nanized chlorella. Why are we calling it detox? Because chlorella however nutrient-rich, is going to chelate metal, thus the word detox. What's going on when we move from a little bit of that and a big headache to 3 ounces of that a day and cognitive function through the roof and the feeling that their energy just shoots up? You give it to a 17-year-old and they drink it like water and say, I just feel strong. You give it to a 60-year-old, let alone a 60-year-old industry worker, and the most minute amounts of it get them very sick. So this is what I mean by the green relationship. Now start adding this up. The good flora in the gut. Adequate amounts of intracellular glutathione. Biliary patency. Sweating in the use of saunas. Sweating in the use of saunas with clays. Sweating in the use of saunas with clays, then with the ingestion of bentonite clay. MediClay FX, another wonderful product from Premier Research Labs. Bentonite clay is going to do what? Suck in those metals. Those metals are on a journey. That journey is from your mouth to your gut, from your gut into your blood, from your blood into the intercellular space, hopefully not from the intercellular space into the intracellular space. Either way, on the way back, down and through the GI tract via the liver, those metals are either bound in the intestine or they recirculate back in. The metals, once they're in the intestine, whether you just swallowed fish or you're recirculating something, those metals have an option of being swept back into the systemic circulation or getting bound up, thus the clays. Adequate amounts, which are small amounts, of bentonite clays, especially in detox phases, enhance the excretion of the garbage that will otherwise get stuck up in your brain, your kidneys, your bone marrow, your oxidative phosphorylation chains, and all the places things like metals can render you sick. Look at what we're amassing here, though. Isn't that amazing? I mean, isn't it amazing? In 51 minutes to take, oh, don't eat that fish. I don't touch fish. The mercury in that fish, it'll kill you. I read it in some article in Vanity Fair. To take that and the decision of people without giving respect to all these systems that work. And rest assured, all those studies, the flawed ones, that drew conclusions about people getting sick from eating pilot whale, which they in fact did, but you don't. All the way to notions that tell you don't touch fish, period. I wouldn't touch that fish. You eat sushi, you eat fish with the metal content in fish, I don't touch that stuff. Against what I'm arguing here, sink that into your common sense. The game is a common sense game. Now, fasting can save your life. Let's come down to picture number 42. Look at the arsenal we are accumulating here. Fasting can save your life. Picture number 42. What is it about the fast? Lots of the garbage lives in the fat. Lots of the garbage lives in the fat. Lots of the metal lives in the fat. Even if it's not in the cell, it's been kicked out of the cell, it lives in the fat. There's fat in between the cells of the organs. There's fat on top of the organs. There's adipose fat, fat away from the organs, just under your skin. Fat is everywhere. Sometimes that fat protects you from the fat in your cell membranes being interfered with. So it's not that that fat is bad, but if you go through phases, and again, coining another terminology, your relationship with fat, even to the point of gaining weight and losing weight and gaining weight and losing weight. When you gain weight and lose weight, some say in clinical practice that when you gain weight and lose weight, you transfer fat from toxic storage sites to new fat. And that gain weight, lose weight cycle is one of the best ways to get the deep fat reserves clean. Put on 30 pounds of fat and fast it down to 10% body fat. Put on 30 pounds of fat and fast it down to 10% body fat. That upcycle, downcycle combined with all these detoxifications. And you're going to worry about heavy metals? Oh, man, I got to do all of that for heavy metal. No, you got to do all of that to stay healthy. Everything I've suggested today is about staying healthy. And you have to stay healthy, not just for the heavy metals, but for everything. Just throw the heavy metals into one category of concern. And then do what you got to do to get healthy. And know that as you get healthy, you take care of hundreds of concerns. What we do is fractionate health down to these specific concerns and act like you got to do something different for every single concern. And that makes good press and good articles, but it doesn't get people healthy. That is the mistake we're making. We've been making it over the last 25 years in clinical nutrition, and I'm going to get rid of it because it's not the way it works. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you're lost in the labyrinth of health, you give us a call. We'll set you on the right track. God bless you. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.